Welcome to Riga Business School Bottom Line Studio closing episode. If you are new here, you can find the other episodes in YouTube channel or in podcast streaming apps under Riga Business School. And without further ado, let's jump in today's episode. And my guest today is chairperson of the Nasdaq Riga Board and also Riga Business School Executive MBA alumna Daiga Auziņa Melalksne. Welcome, Daiga.
Hello.
And Daiga has chosen to talk about the capital market importance in Latvian economy. But before we jump in today's topic, I would like to ask Daiga to introduce yourself and maybe tell us a little bit more about you outside the professional emploi.
Yeah, no, I guess I would say that I'm the person who likes to seek out different new challenges and to stay relevant, because I think it's important to lead an interesting life, and if you lead an interesting life, then you're also interesting person for others who interact with you. I am also a mother of two sons. I have always lived in Jūrmala and have loved living in Jūrmala, and especially now during the pandemic, you know, visits to seaside probably has become a routine of many people, and I'm no exception. I like swimming, I like theater, book reading, I like reading different detectives and criminal stories. So I guess that's a short version of who I am.
Okay. And if we're talking about your professional life, how did your career journey begin?
Purely by accident, I believe, as for many people. After I graduated from university, I went to US for 8 years. And after I came back from United States, where I didn't sort of go to school or anything like that, but when I came back, I started looking for employment. And at the time when I came back, I had never seen lats, Latvian lats. When I left, it was some other currency. And actually also the country had changed quite much. And at that time, I applied for many positions, because for me it was the main thing to find a job and start working and start developing my professional career. And purely by accident, and probably also and also to my big surprise, they asked me for interview to Riga Stock Exchange at that time. And I was even more surprised and shocked when they decided to hire me. So that's how my professional journey in capital markets and at that time Riga Stock Exchange started. And that's where I have spent quite a few years. And after a couple of years working as a specialist, I sort of became a board member of Riga Stock Exchange, and later on also CEO. And it seems that it's been a very long time in the same organization, and maybe it's not very fashionable by today's standards. But the work has been always very interesting, because during that time also shareholders of Riga Stock Exchange changed. And especially interesting it became when in 2008 Nasdaq bought all three Baltic exchanges and Nordic exchanges, and we became a group, Nasdaq group company. And then of course it was very interesting, given my 8 years in US many years ago, the fact that I felt that I understand American culture, and also I have always sort of liked going back to United States and sort of still like to do that occasionally. Yeah, and of course, what is the most exciting part is that while working in stock exchange, you can really develop things that you believe in. And one of them is capital markets. And I have been quite also fortunate to be part of good corporate governance movement in Latvia, because I was between people who established Baltic Institute of Corporate Governance and many other organizations and people that I have met during my professional life, and I believe all this experience has enriched my life greatly.
Okay, I'm hearing that part of you being so extensively in this career is also you mentioned you like challenges. So it I'm hearing that challenges are enough for you in this career.
You know, I have always sort of when you think about yourself, I like sort of came to conclusion that I'm the person who likes to go against the current, you know, sort of. And then I was participating in one event with Novator, which is sort of organization who promotes women's professional development. And then Bob Rubisa said, but look, if you are a manager, it's sort of a given that you go against the current. Yeah. And that's just how it is, because you challenge status quo and just sort of try to develop things. So, yeah.
Okay. So when I was thinking about this interview and I was thinking, interesting, how does Daiga's daily work life look like? Because the picture that came into my mind was like as cliche as you can imagine from the movies, you know, the stock exchange. Of course, nowadays everything is like digitalized, but I imagined yourself like supervising things from a glass from a glass cabinet, but of course I'm joking. So how exactly your daily work life looks in Nasdaq?
Yeah, I'm a manager, so obviously my main thing is managing people, managing myself, talking to clients, doing sales work. And many other things. But like when you said that sort of what is the first thing that comes to mind when you think about stock exchange, you said like screens and, you know, and things like that. But actually, I think what people often confuse is that there is trading part, which brokers do, but stock exchange actually is an infrastructure. So basically, it's a trading system in which sort of those trading in equities and bonds take place. So our main task as Nasdaq, as Nasdaq Riga and Nasdaq Baltic is sort of to run this infrastructure efficiently, transparently, so that the companies that come to market and attract capital disclose information so that investors who have invested in those companies can get access, timely access to material and very important information so they can make investment decisions. So it's an infrastructure.
Okay. And assuming that our viewers and listeners have various knowledge on capital markets and how they function, can you a little bit elaborate on that?
Yes. So basically, why in general stock exchange is important? Because via stock exchange, all of us who are not entrepreneurs get to experience what is capitalism. Because from one side, you have companies who need capital for development, and especially if they have very ambitious development plans, then quite often banks, who are the first naturally sought source of new capital, is not willing and not able to provide this capital. So what companies do? They say that we need capital and we want to attract this capital from general public. And on the other side, there are people like you and me. You are an entrepreneur. I am not an entrepreneur. Yeah, but sort of we have some money that we want to invest. So it becomes a productive investment. Yeah, we have savings and we want those savings to become productive. So what we can do, we take our savings through stock exchange infrastructure, we invest in companies that need capital. In return, we become shareholders, minority shareholders in those companies, and company says we will from now on develop our business and sort of will treat you equal to your sort of number of shares and one vote, one dividend, and one sort of one vote, one dividend. Forgot. Anyways, so the fair treatment, yeah. And this is how through this stock exchange infrastructure, any one of us can become also owner of company. And this is how we can, realize, and because this capitalism, yeah, where everybody can own company shares. And yeah, so and the companies can issue shares, we also call them equities, or they can issue bonds. If they issue shares, then there are more shareholders coming in. With bonds, there is no change in shareholders, but basically you get a terminated loan with a sort of predefined payment schedule. So basically I, as investor buying a bond, I know that I invest, let's say, 1,000 euros, I will get 5% interest annually, and in 5 years, when the bond expires, I will get this sort of my initial investment back. If I invest in shares, then I also share the business risk. So if company develops and everything is great, then I profit. I can sell at a higher price that I bought. If business is not developing well, then I also can suffer losses. And for companies, it's important, this also this being on stock exchange, it first of all is this a capital that company attract, a lot of visibility, yeah, so a lot of publicity, and there is no any other type of visibility on the scale as stock exchange or listing provides. And also for company founders, and so the bigger shareholders, via stock exchange, you see what is company value. For example, Mother Cosmetics, everybody knows this company, Latvian company. They came to market about 5 years ago. At the time, their net turnover was below 10 million euros. They attracted capital, turned their shareholders into buyers of the products, product buyers into shareholders. That was their strategy. They also had a customer loyalty program. And basically now the company turnover has grown to close to 20 million euro, but the company market value is between 90 million and 100 million euros. And this is very important for company founders, because when they want to exit, they can exit at this market price. And that actually is a sort of independent valuation of what your business is worth.
Okay, I'm hearing a lot of value for companies to participate, but let's assume I have money and for me all the world is open now and I can buy company shares, let's say in United States, etc., etc. So why would you suggest me to invest in Latvian companies, in local companies?
Well, first of all, I would say that you should invest in businesses that you like, believe in, and sort of maybe even a product that you use. So you are the best judge of about the quality of the product and services. Yeah, I think one important thing is diversification of investment. So, of course, if you are an investor, you should also diversify geographically. So you should buy maybe Latvian, Estonian, Lithuanian, American, I don't know, UK or any other sort of companies, sort of shares. Why to buy Latvian? I think it's sort of because you will always have more information and better understanding of how companies are doing in your home market than maybe in someplace else. Yeah, that's one reason. Other reason, of course, you invest money. You invest because you want to earn money. And of course, you should, as investor, be very careful in assessing where you invest. And, you know, so if you believe that some Latvian company has a potential, so why not become a, you know, basically a shareholder, and by this also support this company's development, because you live here in Latvia, the company paid taxes here, and you basically sort of benefit in many other ways from booming economy. Yeah, but of course, I mean, investors invest in, you know, in different geographies. We have actually in Baltics regional market. So if you want to sort of, if you are an investor from Latvia and if you want to invest somewhere, you can actually go to our webpage, nasdaqbaltic.com, and you can find information about Latvian, Lithuanian, Estonian companies. You will find information about each company in local language and also in English language. You can find information about the companies, how past performance, you can see who is in supervisory council, in management board, what sort of a lot of information basically. And that's I think is very important for also for Latvian investors. We often say we like something that's happening in Estonia, you know, and so on. So by investing in listed Estonian companies, you can also take benefit from also personal benefit from this investment and sort of
Okay. So and when I asked you to choose the topic for today, you chose about the capital market importance in Latvian economy. So why this topic choice?
No, I guess it's easy to talk about something that you work with every day. But I think importance of this importance of developing capital markets is growing year by year, and for example, now very important is talk about energy independence and all those very important topics due to our current geopolitics and war in Ukraine and so on, and basically. And I think this capital attraction on capital market is not only important for like smaller local companies such as Madara or Virši or so on, but I think it's also very important that such possibility exists for state-owned companies. And for example, last year there was very successful IPO, and IPO is initial public offering, basically when company first time comes to market. There was great example in Estonia where green part of ST Energy called Enefit Green attracted capital for development green energy power etc. on capital markets. Basically it was I think 75 million or something like that, and government didn't have to invest sort of money, but it sort of was they did it on capital markets. And 60,000 of Estonian investors became investors or shareholders in Enefit Green. And I think it's very important. First of all, it's very attractive business. And obviously, when we look from today's perspective, it is really a very important area of development. Yeah. So, and if we speak from those new shareholders or investors' perspective, basically, by investing in capital markets, they take charge of their future financial wealth, because I go to work every day, I get salary, I'm not sort of an entrepreneur, but I can keep my sort of money that I save in sort of savings account, and no, there is either negative rates or very 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 small positive rates, but I can invest in sort of, for example, in Enefit Green shares. And I can grow my investment over time as company develops. I can receive dividends, and this sort of empowers me to be in charge of the future. And I think that is very important thing today, also in Latvia, that we basically say to our people that it's not the state who will pay you this or that support and help you, and unless there are really, you know, sort of there are people who need this support. But for a majority, we are all capable to go to work, earn money, save money, invest money, and therefore become independent, financially independent in future. And that is something that empowers us, that we and this empowerment, I think, is very important today, also in Latvia. And capital market gives you this possibility and this empowerment to be in charge of your future, not just to expect that someone will come and give you this type of support or that type of support, and government is bad because they're not supporting, and sort of, you know,
Yeah.
So change of thinking as well.
Yeah, this kind of thinking still is very, very popular in Latvia. And you mentioned this good example of Enefit. And do you see some potential success stories of the companies in Latvia that are seen somewhere there?
Absolutely. We have the infrastructure where you can attract capital. And also Latvian companies, just as Estonian and Lithuanian state-owned enterprise are doing. So if in Latvia there are projects that need additional financing, also in energy sector or any other sector, capital markets are open. And what we have seen over the last couple of years, that quite a few state-owned enterprises also in Latvia have issued bonds. It's Latvian Ergo, it's AST, it's Altums, and many others. So companies are choosing this route and attract capital on stock exchange via bonds or equities. And also there is additional benefits, because if you are listed, even if it's not equities, it's bonds, you still greatly improve your corporate governance, transparency. You develop ability to speak with your stakeholders, not only shareholders, but stakeholders. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's a very, very important thing. And I hope that also in Latvia, it will be used more and more. Mm-hmm. Sort of that basically any Latvian company can become Nasdaq listed. And Nasdaq is a well-known brand. And I think it's fantastic if you can say to your cooperation partners, your employees, your customers that you are Nasdaq listed. It adds a different scale of credibility, I think, to management and to business at large.
Okay, you said that any company could become listed. So, but still, I bet that there are some serious criteria for the company to become listed. So what are, you know, these criteria so that company can start looking?
I think there are three things, very important things. And it used to be so that people associated that the capital market and stock exchange is just for large companies. Yeah, but it's not true. Like I mentioned this mother example, and there are quite a few others that I can mention. Given jewelry recently issued bonds, a lot of examples that demonstrate that basically the size is not a decisive factor, sort of, to become attractive on stock exchange. And speaking about is any company sort of able to attract capital, I would say that there are three things that must be must be developed over time for a company to be successful on stock exchange and capital markets. First of all, you have to have ambition to develop. Not just survive, but to develop. Because of course, when investors such as you or myself invest our money in any business, we want to earn money. Sort of, we basically, over time, we want to be able to grow our value of our shares that we have bought. Yeah? So there has to be strategy for development. If you don't have strategy for development, then, friends, fools, family, what other options, sort of, yeah? Other thing is sort of visibility. You have to believe that visibility, transparency, sort of, are additional values for your business. And you have to also be able to use this visibility to sell your products, to promote your company, to sell your services, and sort of work along that. So that this visibility is not a burden, but it's an advantage. If you think that visibility is a burden, then stock exchange, again, is not for you. Yeah? And the third thing I say is, you have to understand and welcome new shareholders into your company. Because if you raise equity capital, it means that new shareholders, yourself, me, you know, somebody else, they will be partial owners of your company. So you have to respect those shareholders. And of course, those minority shareholders' influence is proportional to how many shares they have. And that's why it's called minority, you know, ownership. And of course, we will most likely not be elected on company supervisory board or someplace. But one share, one dividend, one vote. That's an important principle. Yeah, we have to feel that company works for all of us, and that we are not being abused or ignored or things like that. Yeah, and therefore, what we give we invest our savings into your company, and we in return expect that you will share information with us, that you will do investor calls, and you basically will work with your investors proactively, yeah, and inform them about how you are doing, what's happening. And we as investors understand that not everything will go up. There will be times when business will also go down, but we expect to be openly communicated about it. So three things: development plans, visibility, and welcoming new shareholders. And if you have those things, or you see that this is an advantage, then stock exchange can be also a solution for you. Because stock exchange also, if a company is listed, you can issue, for example, share options to your employees. Because now we know that it's so how difficult it is to attract a qualified workforce, or maybe sometimes motivate your key people to stay with company. And it's for a company owner or for company, it's sometimes difficult just to raise salary or increase bonus or things like that, because you have to be competitive. So basically, if company is listed, you can also issue share options, and your employees or key employees, based on how you wish, they can be also as shareholders. And if company is listed, this share option program can sort of be implemented in fully, because you have market value. Because let's say after 3 years, we have achieved all the targets we have set for us, and I have said that you, Elena, will become a shareholder. You will have, let's say, 50 shares in our company. If you still work 3 years later there, then you should be able to sell those shares, if you wish, at market price. Or you can also keep them for, you know, your retirement or what else. Yeah, and that I think is very, and this share option programs, why they are so good, it's because you have taxation benefit. Because you, for company who issues those share options, you don't have to pay any social tax and et cetera, et cetera. And also for employee who receives those shares after, let's say, 3 years, you only pay capital gains if you sell those shares. And this actually, this share option legislation is very good in Latvia, and also a lot of startup people from startup community have actually said that that's one of the best in the world. And also in startup communities, startups use this share options to sort of motivate their employees, their developers, their key personnel to stay with the company.
Mm. Yeah. Well, actually, that what you mentioned, when I was looking for a job, from seeing all the benefits that companies offer, actually the share options for me seemed the most valuable, because you really feel like you own at least small piece of the company, and you are extra motivated to do better because you know that your shares then will be more valuable. So yeah, I think that this is really a great option.
And I think it also sort of we hear a lot about like inclusive growth. Yeah, it's a very appealing two words, you know. And I think via capital markets and stock exchange, we can realize this inclusive growth, because the company grows, and so grows the shareholder investment. Yeah, if you are part of company where you have this employee stock program, and you are also stockholder as such, also it's inclusive growth. you grow with company, you become richer with the company. Yeah, mm-hmm. You do something that you like, and you are also benefiting in other ways. For example, in Nasdaq, Nasdaq is also a listed company, and all Nasdaq employees are also shareholders at Nasdaq. So I think it's a fantastic program, and I'm very glad that also in Latvia such favorable legal regulation is available, and it's also beneficial from tax perspective. So all those company owners who want to have this inclusive growth can do it. And stock exchange here is a great, great additional value.
Okay. And if we return to companies who are thinking of participating, and I bet not everybody makes there. So what are the, let's say, main obstacles or main reasons for declining a company to become listed?
Well, I think I would say it probably they are exactly opposite to what I said when I described sort of what companies are suitable sort of for capital markets. But I think sort of one of the things where companies fail, I think, is corporate governance. Because of course for listed companies, you have to have a board, management board, you have to also have supervisory board, and supervisory board is responsible for strategy for company development and also oversight of the management board. And I think sort of now, I think nowadays maybe I would say this shift is happening, but sort of we have a lot of companies where, how you say, the founding member still is running the whole business, yeah? And of course, company has grown in size and has developed, and one person who runs the business is actually a great risk to the company itself. And I think maybe, and that's actually is a corporate governance, yeah? Because you have to understand as a founder, what is your role today? And sort of if the business has developed and you see that you cannot handle all issues sort of, or don't want to handle all issues, then you step to, you take the supervisory board role and you hire a management board, professional people, and you set the strategy and let them work and develop. And I think this sort of part is somewhat difficult, yeah? Yet sort of to do. Then I think other obstacle is actually this that companies, owners, and so they are so afraid of transparency. Yeah, like sort of you can go to some business's website and you can find everything about the products and services they sell, but you cannot find practically anything about who is shareholders, who is in management board, who is supervisory board, and you know, it's very sort of closed environment. So I think it's about this sort of one of the challenges is also becoming more transparent, you know. And I think, and I would, for the sake of three things, yeah, I would say also that there are quite a few businesses who don't have development plans, yeah. And I have very often have encountered situations when you talk to companies that company shareholders, they are tired because it's been like quite a road since company was established, and all they want is exit. And their sort of dream is to sell it to higher bidder. But quite often it's difficult because this higher bidder is not willing to pay the price that the founder has imagined. And the reason is because when founder sells a company and leaves it, and there is nobody else who knows how to run the business. And of course, if it's a strategic investor, then they might have a quite big, good picture of what and how they want to do. But it's not always the case. And therefore, what I said, this market value is very important. If you are a listed company, you have market value. And then founders can exit at market value.
Okay. And if you look at Latvian capital markets in general, so what are the criteria you see for the markets to successfully develop?
I would say that one of the major factors and very important factors is that sort of that could define the future development is a sort of large company listings, and those as a rule are state-owned enterprises. And we have spoken a lot about in general about capital markets development strategy. So I think when sort of those companies see that they have development plans and they want to develop and they want to attract new capital, new equity capital, it's very important for them to be listed, because sort of if you want to be visible in international sort of arena, then you have to be included in different indices, different stock exchange indices, you know. And to be included in indices, you have to have big market cap. You have to have those large listings. Because and about large listings, we see companies whose valuation is like a billion or hundreds of million, etc., etc. And then it's in a way also a chicken and egg thing, because you cannot be in those indices if you don't have those large listings, and you cannot attract investment if you are not in the indices. Yeah, so it's like a little bit chicken and egg thing. And once you are in indices, there is again quite different foreign investors, institutional investors' interest about the country and about the region. So if you have those large listings, then that would promote even more capital inflow into our economy.
Mm. Okay. And if you imagine that you had a possibility to look in the future and let's say see Latvian capital markets in maybe 20 years. So what do you ideally see there?
Then that's a great question. And actually, we all in Nasdaq Baltic took part in formulating this vision, but my Estonian colleague was one sort of who had this sort of main idea about it. And I think it sounded about like this, that all ambitious Baltic companies are listed and all ambitious Baltic people are investors.
Okay. Yeah, this is a really great future vision.
Yeah, because ambition is good. Even in Latvian language, sometimes ambition is associated with sort of maybe pushy and so on. Mm. But in general, ambition is great. If you have ambition, then you pretty much can achieve anything.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. And as we soon have to wrap up our conversation, I would like actually to explore a little bit your relationship with Riga Business School. So, executive MBA, how was that like?
It was actually a very fantastic experience. And most, I would say two aspects. Yeah, I believe sort of that MBA studies, and especially of course executive MBA studies, are good when you have already some work experience. I'm not the person who would say that when you graduate your bachelor's, you right away go to MBA and study. No, I think it's good to have this break in between. And at the time when I applied for this executive MBA program, I want to learn. I felt that I have some knowledge gaps, or that, you know, sort of I have to refresh my knowledge, you know. And it felt also very exciting going back to school, you know. And so this is one thing. Other thing, sort of, I met fantastic people, you know, both from professor's side, really, very, very interesting people, very knowledgeable people, and very many of them are still sort of I'm still in good contact with. And also I met my group mates. We had quite a small group. I think we were 8 people or 9 or something like that. And first of all, I have sort of still have 2 very good friends from that time with whom I either keep daily or weekly in touch. You know, we travel together and we do a lot of many fun things, sort of. So basically you also broaden your friends circle, you know, because as you get older, actually you get less and less friends. It's when you are young, then like you meet new friends, or you think you meet new friends every day. When you get older, this circle sort of becomes closer, yeah? And then by going studying, for example, in Riga Business School Executive MBA, you can meet many people with whom you have similar interests. And by this, you also broaden your viewpoint, your experience, and so on and so on.
Okay. And what would you say to somebody who is currently thinking, should I go to executive MBA program or not?
I say just do it. What's to say? If you are already thinking about it, then it's someplace on back of your brain or someplace that idea has matured already. So at this point, just do it.
Okay.
Jump in.
Okay, so as the time has come to close our today's conversation, is there some closing words or something you'd still like to say to our viewers and listeners?
I would say that Riga Business School is a fantastic place to study. You can get international education here locally in Riga. You can broaden your experience. You can meet people. You gain fantastic knowledge. You learn to think from different angles. And also you realize that there are no right or wrong choices in life. You, by doing, you make your choices right or wrong. And it's actually you who is sort of in driver's seat.
Okay. So let's take the driver's seats then. And thank you, Daiga, for your time today and for the valuable insights you gave. And thanks to all our viewers and listeners. And this was the closing episode of Riga Business School Bottom Line Studio podcast, season 1. And for those who enjoyed this episode, we have plenty more. So look for them in Riga Business School YouTube channel and podcast streaming apps. And see you in season 2.